I'm excited today about the words of Jesus and about treasures of heaven and earth. Last Sunday morning, if you were here, you know that we focused on Jesus' words about our priorities and how important it is that we live life with a mindset of the importance of the difference between heaven and earth and how we see our possessions. Last week, we read about Jesus, talked about how he doesn't want us to store up treasures on earth, but to store up our treasures in heaven, and realize that how we live and the priorities that we have about our possessions are very important to the heart of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The Bible talks a lot about treasures and talks about what we value in life and our priorities and why some things are important to us and how we should look at them. The Bible does say a great deal about treasure and what becomes important to us. Whatever it is that is important in your life will become your heart. It will become what you care most about. Whatever you surround yourself with, whatever you take time for, Jesus talks about how where your treasure is, then your heart will be also. And how we use what God gives us in some ways, how we use our finances, how we use the blessings that God gives us in this life will determine whether or not we will be faithful disciples of Jesus or will be pretenders. Jesus talks about the difference between people who claim to know him and claim to love him and those who give everything in their lives and their hearts to God. Today I want us to continue to think about and focus on accountability before God. What does God want from me? What does God want from you? What does God want from the priorities of your life? What does God want us to be focused on? I want us especially today to focus on one of Jesus' parables. Jesus spoke so many parables, and a lot of them are parables of accountability. If you kind of put into categories the stories that Jesus told, probably categorically, Jesus gave parables of accountability more than anything else. In every one of those parables, he's teaching us something about how he wants us to live and how God sees us, how God measures us and what God wants from us. And so these parables must have been very important. The parable I want us to read and look at for a few minutes this morning is called the parable of the talents. The parable, it's in Matthew chapter 25. And if you want to read along, it's a long parable. And I'm going to read from verses 14 through 30. And listen to this story as Jesus talks about the priorities that he wants us to have as he talks about accountability and what he's looking for us. Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. Jesus is telling a story. So just imagine the storyteller, and what does he communicate to us through that? Chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We learn so very much about the heart of God through the parables of Jesus. We learn a lot about how God sees things and when we might not see them the same way. Jesus uses this story. He uses this picture. He paints this picture in a way that is so simply communicates to us how important it is we understand that everything that we have in this life is from the Master. Everything that we have to use in our lives is from God. Jesus uses the word talents. When we think of the word talents, at least when I read the scriptures, there are two things that come to mind. The first one is money. And that's often how this parable is looked at and how we kind of view the story. We think of bags of money that the master gave to these three servants. Jesus actually told this story at least twice, and it's a little bit different in the other story. So it tells me just from the fact that we have this story in two places and the details are a little bit different that Jesus communicated this story and this theme more than once. We think of the importance of treasure. Last week we talked about not storing up treasures on earth, but storing up our treasures in heaven. And again, Jesus kind of uses that same idea of what we are given by God and how we use it. We think of our money as the talents, but we also think of something else that is very important to the heart of God, and that's simply our efforts to serve Him. Our ability to use what God gives us to be of service to Him and to other people. You might look at it this way. God gives everybody a certain amount of ability. God gives everybody certain gifts. God allows these in our lives, and they're important to who we are. We're individuals to God. I've said before how important it is to realize that we're all made different. We are created different. Everybody here is a little bit different in a number of ways. Everybody here is unique. Everybody looks different. Your personalities are different. Your experiences are different. You can watch an event and everybody will use different words to describe it. God's given us such individuality, and that's a great gift from God. And in this parable, I think Jesus is kind of capturing a little bit of that idea. And he said, just as every single person is different, every one of my disciples, every one of the believers, every person that is a follower of me, I've created and I've made them unique. I've made them different. I've given them different abilities in different ways. There's really three things that I'd like to focus on about this parable and the abilities that that Jesus talks about and speaks to as he speaks about the heart of God, about who you are. I want you to know today that you're so important to the heart of God, whoever you are, whatever your gifts and abilities are, whatever you're good at, whatever you're not good at, you're important to God. God has created you and made you. The first thing that I think about in this part of the parable is that every single person is given certain gifts. I mean, that kind of seems to me in part kind of a cornerstone of this parable. The master calls all his servants in. Come on in, all of you. And I'm going to give to you certain things, talents or gifts or treasures or whatever it is the symbolism mean. The master goes on a journey. He says, I'm going to leave for a while. Not only am I going to leave, but while I'm gone, I have something for you. I have purpose for you. I have meaning for your life. And as Christians, we understand that we derive our purpose and we derive fulfillment from who God is and what He lays upon our hearts and our lives and what He wants for the church, for the body of Christ, to be the light and the salt in the world around us. A few weeks ago, we talked about how important it is to be the salt of the earth. How do we do that? We do that when we live out how God's created the church to be and made us as believers to be. Every person is important, every believer in the church. There's not a single Christian here today who is not important to God somewhere, somehow in the kingdom of God. Every believer has a place in the kingdom of God. Every believer has been given certain gifts, and God trusts us with that. There are several words in here that I think are very important. One of them is the word entrust. God made us unique, and He trusts us with that. There's something about being made in His image that's not to look down on. That's not to say, oh, I'm not this or I'm not that. How God made you is important. God cares deeply about who you are and how you're made, and He cares deeply about everything in your heart and your life. God, in this parable, Jesus gives certain gifts to different people. He gives one 5, He gives another 2, and He gives another 1. The emphasis here is not on the amount of the gifts. The emphasis of this parable is not how much each person got. The emphasis isn't even on what the gifts are. The emphasis here seems to be on 2 things. One is, who is the giver of the gifts? Who gives the gifts? Who gives the ability? Who gives the call? That to me seems to be the first thing about this parable that is so important, is to remember who it is that gives us life. Who it is that gives us the calling of the Christian life. Who it is that gives us the gifts. To one He gave 5, to another 2, to another 1. He also said here, each according to His ability. God knows exactly who we are. He knows our wiring. He knows where we can be effective. God knows where we could be ineffective. God knows our personalities. He knows our temperament. He knows everything about us, and He loves us the way that He made us. And He has a place to use us wherever that is. God knows you. You might be wondering today, you might think about this parable, at least when I do, boy, what in the world can I do? What is it that God would say to me in this parable? What about my life? I mean, where would God say, I want you to be available? That's a question that we all should ask. God, how do you want us to be used in your kingdom? What is it you're looking for in us? Well, we know that God knows our potential. We also know that God knows how we're wired and how we're designed. And we know that God wants to use us in His kingdom. God has a plan. God has a place for every single person. He knows that you can fulfill that potential. He's given you what you need as a Christian to fulfill the potential that He made you with. All of us, as disciples of Jesus, have been given what we need to fulfill what He wants for us in the body of Christ. If we listen to Him and we hear Him and we're willing to be what He calls us to be, then we can find that fulfillment. He knows that we can fulfill that potential or waste it. The gifting is up to God. As I said, the first thing about this parable that really kind of is the main thing to me is that it's God who gives the gifts. The use of the gifts is up to us. Our attitude about the gifts is up to us. Our willingness to be used, our willingness to take what God puts in our hearts, His truth, and His commandments, and His love, and His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, that's up to us what we do with. If we're available to God, if everything in our heart is available to Him, then He can use it for good. There's not a person here that can't be used in your circle of influence for God if your heart is right with Him. There's never an issue that God hasn't given you the opportunity or ability to have influence for Him. The question is, Are you using that? Are you seizing the time and the moment and the opportunity in your life to serve Him? Every person is given certain gifts, and God wants us to use them for His kingdom. Your life, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you live, your family, whatever you are, you have this certain circle of influence. This parable applies to your circle of influence. Are you living how God wants you to live in your circle of influence? Do you have the attitude around the people in your life that shows them that Jesus is important to you? Having a heart within is how we begin to fulfill the gifting that God has for us. God wants you to use your gifts for His kingdom. That's where we'll be fulfilled. That's where we'll let our light shine for Jesus. It takes a certain mindset, catching the wave of God's purpose for your life and seeing that you do matter to God. You are so important to God, whoever you are. Your willingness, your availability is the question. How available are you? How willing are you to submit yourself completely to the will of God? If you're willing to do that and you lay down yourself, then God can use you and do things that you otherwise would never be able to see. I think of what is more important than the gift itself. The gift is from God, but what's more important than the gift itself? Your availability, your willingness, your attitude, your spirit. First Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve one another. Every gift that God gives you, He calls you to use it to be a blessing to people around you. Everything that God equips you for, everything God allows in your life is potential for you to be a witness for Christ, for you to point the way to Jesus for people. It's a servant's heart that pleases God. God is looking for willing servants. The ability to serve has been already planted by God in you if you're a believer today. The ability to have an influence in your world is already planted by God in your spirit. It's your attitude and whether you recognize that and you're willing to use it to serve Him and to love Him. The heart is up to you. A heart of servanthood is probably more important than maybe even defining the gift and defining the ability. I mean, what's important when we think of this parable? Our availability is important. Our attitude is important. Our humility is important. If you have a humble heart before God, then you can find that niche and find that place where He wants you to serve and He wants to use you. The third thing about this parable that to me is so strong is that God will hold us accountable for the gifts that He gives us. This parable is pretty amazing on both sides of accountability. These are some of the most precious words we have from Jesus. Some of the most precious words, and I think about Jesus and His affirmation of the church and the body of Christ are found in this parable. It says in verse 19, after a long time, the master returned and settled accounts to them. Jesus is reminding us that there is a day that we will all give an account for our lives. Someday we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says. There'll be a day when we'll come before the judgment of God. And did we? There'll be two primary things that God's going to look at us and judge us by. One is, did we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and accept Him as the Savior of our spirits and our souls? Have we asked Him to forgive us? And the other judgment is that judgment of works. Have we given to God everything that we are and obeyed Him with our life? Accountability is important to Him. Jesus uses some of the most precious words that we find in the Bible in this parable. Again, this is a story, this is a parable, but Jesus is giving us the very heart of God here. Listen to these beautiful words. His master replied, verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And the last thing in that verse says, come and share your master's happiness. You know, Jesus says to the servants that are faithful, "Oh, I am so grateful for you. You have been and done what I've asked you to do. You've responded with a spirit and the attitude that I call you to have." And Jesus just opens his arms and says, "Come and share the joy of your master." Think of that, the joy of the master, the joy of God, when his people have that heart attitude of servanthood and spirit to him. How pleasing that is to God. How that just exemplifies what Jesus is looking for in your life when your attitude and your spirit is right before God. What a beautiful picture that is. You know, to someday to think about Jesus and welcome us and saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What a beautiful thing to think about. I think of people who have died, and I've read that verse in several funeral services, and maybe you've thought about that too. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How important it is to understand the joy that Jesus has when we have an attitude that serves him, has an attitude that's right before him. And then on the other side, in verse 26, Jesus speaks some of the words that are just about close to the harshest words Jesus ever speaks. Verse 26, "His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest.'" And then verse 30, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Boy, you think of the things that Jesus talked about that were strong. This parable and this story about how we use what God gives us. Are we using what God gives us for his glory, for good? Are we understanding that influence? Are we understanding the potential that God has in each one of us? You're so important to God. God has some place. God has a way for you to impact your world for him if your heart is right. I see in this parable how important it is our mindset and our attitude is about what God gives us, that God cares deeply about everything within our hearts and our spirits. We have great potential. Great things often start in small seeds and small quantities, but it's the attitude of the heart. It's our attitude before God that determines whether or not we'll make a difference for good or not. God knows the heart. And he also, in this the example of the third man who had one talent, God also knows excuses. I mean, he knows when an excuse is an excuse. He knows when we might have a reason why we excuse attitudes that really aren't holy and they really aren't what he wants for them. And it's good to be reminded that Jesus sees right through that too. We can't fool him. We can't be one thing on the outside and have this battle going on the inside and be pleasing to God. What Jesus wants us to do is to give it all to him, and he can take it and sanctify it and clean it and clean up anything within us that's not committed to him. And one more thing I think of in Jesus' words and the importance, the potential of our time. Think about the importance of our treasure, the importance of our talent, but also our time. The psalmist wrote, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Of all the things that God gives us, I realize, you know, possessions, some have more, some have less. In our culture, we have so much compared to other places around the world, you know. Talents, gifting, there's a lot of variety of that. Some people are good at some things. It seems like God's just given them a special ability to do some things, and others not in that area, but different things. But this is the area that God's given every single one of us the same amount of. We all have the same time. We all have the same potential to use our circle of influence to impact people around us. No matter how you live or where you live out your life, you have 24 hours in your day. You can use that to honor God. You can use that as a place. You can use that as realizing that every time you talk to people, you have an opportunity to influence them toward or away from God. Your attitude at work, your attitude at school can draw people to Jesus or push them away. God calls us to make wise use of our time. Be very careful then, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. You realize that every opportunity, every conversation is an opportunity to be a witness and an influence for Jesus. That's so important to him. Every day is an opportunity to be a witness for Christ. In your words, in your attitude, in your priorities, make the most of every opportunity. I would say as I close this message about this parable today, I just want to remind you that every single day is an opportunity that God gives you to be a blessing to someone. Every single day is an opportunity for you to let your light shine. If you think, well, maybe next week I will, or maybe Sunday I will, but every day, every moment is a time that God gives you the opportunity to let your light shine. One more scripture. That's from Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. And Paul says it like this: be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. You see, it's so important that we be the salt of the earth, and how you use your time and how you use your talents and how you use your treasure is so important to God. I'm going to ask you to stand this afternoon and ask Debbie to come, and I'm going to invite you to sing a chorus from our chorus book in closing today. It's number 170. It's the chorus, I Will Serve Thee. You know, I'm guessing that most of you know that chorus fairly well, but I want to invite you to sing that with us in closing today. And as you do, ask, maybe you could ask God, how can I make the most of the opportunity that you give me? How can I make the most of the gifts I have? How can I make the most of where I'm at in life and what I do, and whether it's in a quiet place or a public place? God, how can I be available to you? How can I have influence that you want me to have? If we have that kind of attitude and that heart, He can open up doors that we might not otherwise ever see or think about. And it may be that you have impact in some people's life that you don't realize. How important it is to know that God calls you to use every single one of those moments and days for Him. Sing with me this chorus, number 170, I Will Serve Thee.
I will serve Thee because
Father, I thank you for life that you've given to us. I thank you for the precious life of every person in this room. I thank you, God, for every adult, every teenager, every child. Lord God, I know they're so precious to you. I know that every person is uniquely, from all of eternity, was fashioned in their mother's womb with your knowledge. And before even one day came to be, you knew every day of their lives. And I pray, God, that we would understand how precious we are to you. I pray, God, that we'd also understand the potential that you have designed within us, and that we would not laugh that off or not think that's important, but God, we would know and believe that we can have influence where where, God, on other people for you, where we live, if we give ourselves to you. I pray that our attitude and our heart and our spirit would not always be wanting to be something else, but to be used where we're at. God, help us to have that spirit and attitude of availability. Help us, God, to see people like you do, to love people like you do, to care about people like you do. Help us, God, to let our light shine for you. Help us to live every day in faith, Lord God, knowing that you care deeply about that day and about who we are. Thank you for this parable. Thank you for the call on the church. God, help us to be the church that you want us to be, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. I think this is the second 3 o'clock service I've ever been a part of in this church. We're glad you could be here today. Hope you have a good week. God bless.